Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, it's Asia-Pacific bears the brunt of heightened tensions between the U.S. and China and a slowdown of a global economic growth. There is a worry that 2019 will not be as good as the year of 2018, as was for the private capital in Asia-Pacific. Well, despite the worry, there's still strong demand for investment professionals in the region, with firms investing in building junior and mid-level employees while developing teams outside of traditional investment hubs such as Hong Kong and Singapore.
Today, leadership and search firm Heidrick & Struggles shares with us results from the sixth edition of its Asia-Pacific Capital Investment Professional Compensation Survey, which included responses from 215 professionals from the region across private equity, venture capital and real assets. We speak to Michael DeChicco, Regional Managing Partner, Asia-Pacific Practice at Heidrick & Struggles Private Equity Practice. He's also the author of Heidrick & Struggles Asia-Pacific Capital Investment Professional Compensation Survey. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So 2018 was a very good year for private capital in Asia Pacific. The aggregate deal value for private equity and venture capital transactions was $169 billion, more than double the $75 billion mark set just 4 years earlier. Tell us about the current state of the private capital market.
I think when you're looking at private capital, you're looking at from funding startup companies all the way to large buyouts. And what we've seen is increased activity kind of across the region, across that whole ecosystem. You're seeing capital that's coming closer to Asia, so more pools of capital, whether it's a pension fund from Europe or North America, family offices. So you're getting a lot more activity, and that's a good thing for the industry, and I think a good thing for companies in Asia.
Mm-hmm. Activity equals more value?
I think activity equals more deal activity, but it also gives companies more choices, and it makes private equity more competitive and more of a focus on adding value post-investment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the investment trends to keep an eye on in the region as the industry grows and matures?
I think there's a few things. Years ago, it would be you'd be a generalist private equity fund, and you'd make a small investment, and economic growth and inflation would double your money, and everybody was happy. And those days are long gone. So you're seeing private equity funds that are increasingly having, say, majors and minors when they're looking at investing. For example, real expertise around consumer or real expertise around digital. So they're smarter about how they're going to help companies, and they're smarter about being able to do due diligence in companies.
So they're diversifying, so to speak, spreading the wealth a little bit?
As an industry, diversifying, but within that, being able to be very, very focused. So you'll start to see teams that are very focused on a specific industry and have great insight in that industry.
Yeah. What are the challenges, though, for private equity in the region?
The big challenge, I think, is companies are expensive, right? Companies are fully valued. There's a lot of money going on. So as a fund, you have a couple of choices. You can invest or buy a company that's broken, and then you try to fix it. Yeah, you fix it. You're doing the turnaround, which is one whole set of challenges. Or you can invest into a company that works very well and then really work with that company on how to grow its businesses.
Mm-hmm. And why is the demand for investment professionals in APAC still strong despite the rough seas ahead?
There's a few things to keep in mind. First, just the fact that you've got more pools of capital that are here, right? So, they would have invested from far away. Now they're here. So you have more investors that are needed. And I think, you also have the regional funds that have grown bigger. So there's just a much bigger pool of investors. And private markets investing is a very long-term game. Mm. So you're not going to exit an investment for 5, 6, 7 years. So that will build over time, regardless of the cycles, I think.
So we're seeing, as we mentioned, increasing demand for investment professionals. Why, though, particularly wanting to strengthen the middle ranks?
To a certain extent, it's because the first thing when you open an office, you're going to be hiring the head of the office or the partners. As your dedication or the amount of money and the percentage of money that you're investing in Asia grows, you're going to grow that team. And the best way really to ensure that you've got a team that has your culture and your ethos embedded in it is to hire at that mid and junior level and then grow them over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, headcount is expected to increase with firms investing not only in more junior and mid-level employees, but also developing teams outside traditional hubs like Hong Kong, Singapore and Tokyo. I mean, well, what about base pay and bonuses for investment professionals in private equity?
That will vary a little bit by region and by office, and we put that into the study where an investment professional, say, in a major capital like Hong Kong or Singapore, is probably going to be more than somebody in Vietnam or Indonesia. But what you do see are pools of capital getting increasingly closer to where those deals are, and so you start to see offices in those second and third level cities.
Let's talk about salary expectations. Though only about 1% of professionals expect a cut in the next 12 months, while nearly two-thirds of private equity and venture capital executives in Asia expect to receive salary increases. Reasons for the optimism, Michael?
Well, first, I think one factor is just what you said, optimism, right? I mean, we've run these surveys for six years, right? So, most of the time, if you look, future looking, you have optimists, and then when the reality is not quite that. But what I will say is that base salary tends to remain largely the same. Bonuses really don't fluctuate a whole lot as your fund size gets bigger. So, you may be down a little bit, up a little bit, but gradually it's pretty stable, and the changes are evolutionary rather than revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And you're paid, a percentage of the profits often, when you do exit. So you are very long-term focused.
Mm-hmm. Might we be seeing the industry moving to more specialization, whether that's industry or local focus, and how?
It's a difference in the type of professional I think you're attracting. So if your fund is focusing, if you start to focus, say, on a consumer industry, then some of the investment professionals, and particularly the people that are focused on value creation, working with companies after the investment, will have those expertise, as opposed to, say, just a generalist investment banker or a generalist investor.
What's a better way to go, though? To be specialized, focused, or be a generalist?
Over time, what we've seen is that by having at least majors and minors, so having some degree of specialization, does give you better returns over time.
Oh, Michael, sounds like school. Okay. Michael DeChicco, Regional Managing Partner, Asia Pacific Practice, Heidrick and Struggles, Private Equity Practice, and the author of Heidrick and Struggles, Asia Pacific Capital Investment Professional Compensation Survey. Michael, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.